our theme song is I Ain't Afraid. Say, I ain't afraid of no demons. I ain't afraid of no demons. Okay. All right. Hey, it's memorable. I know. My friend Chad's laughing in the back because why? You're going to at least remember today because we played a little, you know, Ghostbusters theme song in the beginning. All right. So to quote Ray Parker Jr. that wrote that song, his very first line is, if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Okay, we don't call Ghostbusters, right? We call them the power of the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? So, you know, there are evil spirits out there. There are demons out there. We live, and listen, all you sci-fi people, we understand multi-dimensions. All the science people, we understand multi-dimensions. We live in the natural and in the spirit world, right? And whatever the Lord reveals to you, that's what you address, right? Because Satan's behind it all. Steal, kill, destroy, he's behind it. So, all right, so let's do another line from Ray's song. If there's something weird and it don't look good, who are you going to call? We're going to call in the name of Jesus. And I know we're kind of laughing a little bit here, but I think we have to kind of lighten it up because we're going to go heavy on it. And I just don't want you guys to get in your head. It's a very simple concept, right? All right, so Ephesians 2:16, which was a series I preached, and I'm emailing the links if you want to join our email of the week. We are joint seated in heavenly places in chair number one with Jesus, right? And Mark 16, verse 17 says this, that he has given us authority in his name, right? And that means every evil spirit and every power of darkness in this world has to submit and bow to the name of Jesus. So when something strange happens, listen, when there is a weird doctor's report, come on, those abnormalities, those odd growths, you know, where they kind of call you in. That's okay. I had to go in for a doctor's thing, and they saw an abnormality. They saw something weird. And you know what? I had to go, come on. How many people had one of those little tests? And they go, oh, that's something weird. That's a little strange. And instead of a spirit of fear and panic and anxiety, which you know that thing's always talking, looking for an opening, I started praying with my husband and my mom. And I was just declaring, I believe the report of the Lord. According to Isaiah chapter 53, I believe a good report's coming. And every tumor, every growth, every abnormality, every sickness and disease was nailed to the cross with Jesus 2,000 years ago. He was beaten beyond human recognition, it says at the end of Isaiah 52. And then 53 said he took the lashes on his back. So we are healed. In the name of Jesus. And you got to declare it. Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. And by the way, everything came back clear. Everything's normal. Praise God. And you know what? When Satan stole my time, because he stole my time, I just told everybody about Jesus. I just didn't make it all weird. I didn't like preach it to everybody. I just started telling people my story. Hey, you know what? What's your name? Hey, this is cool. Blah, blah, blah. This is what I'm believing for. And you know what? By the end, people were my friends and they just, hey, guess what? Everything came back normal. You're good to go. I was like, praise God. So I just decided to kick Satan in the teeth over it. Come on. If there's something weird, who are you going to call in the name of Jesus? And then I'm going to make Satan pay for trying to cause drama in my life. All right, so Matthew 10, 1, Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease. Say every kind of disease. And it says every kind of sickness. So that means mental illness. Do you know, everybody point at your brain. This is an organ. It's an organ, okay? Just like if you have problems with your liver, it's an organ, right? And we pray for healing in the liver. And we pray for healing in your kidneys. We pray for healing in your brain. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. So let's go back to our friend Ray Parker. Ray Parker Jr. Okay, lyric. If you're seeing something running through your head. I know, because we're just going to have fun, right? We're going to lighten it up a little bit. So how many people have had some traumatic flashbacks to some horrible things that Satan tried to do to you, especially over pandemic? I dealt with a lot of weird flashbacks of all the people that ever hurt me, just traumatic things, right? And I had to tell those memories to go in the name of Jesus because it was tormenting me. All right? How many people? Fear, anxiety, depression, all these things, right? Come on. That battle, when those thoughts come in, Satan's always lying. He's just looking to just get you to entertain his thoughts. I say, go in the name of Jesus. I replace those negative thoughts, those lies from the enemy, with the powerful word of God, his scripture. If you try to fight fire with fire, thoughts with thoughts, not really powerful. That is why the Bible says you are to declare and speak out loud the creative power of the word. Jesus' word declared over your life. So find out the opposite of what the negativity of what he's lying to you. Go find scriptures. You can Google really quick. Scriptures for peace and declare peace over your mind. Scriptures for healing. Scriptures for purpose and calling in your life if you're dealing with, you know, feeling lost, okay? So we have to declare these things over our mind and over the organs and our brain, right? Amen? All right, so John 10, and I'm going to develop this really intensely next week, so I have to hit some things. John 10, 4 through 5, it talks about this. It says, my sheep, Jesus is saying, my sheep, how many of you are followers of Jesus? We're his sheep. Hear my voice. This is his voice, okay? And he also speaks directly to you, but you're going to miss it unless you know what he sounds like. He always sounds like his word. But it says a stranger's voice. How many say stranger danger? How many we teach our kids stranger danger? Can we teach our kids the strange voice of Satan? Oh, I don't want to tell them about Satan. Well, that's why we blame everything on God, because we're afraid to talk to our kids about Satan. I'm so tired. No, listen, I am tired of people blaming God for things that Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, because you're afraid to say the word devil or demon. So you're training your kids to blame God for everything that's ever happened in this world. Come on, real talk. Oh, I don't want to scare my kid. Well, then you're teaching it wrong. He's defeated. He's under your feet. You're training them to fear something that we should not fear. So let's address it out there. Listen, we teach our kids about strangers, strange voice, a strange voice on the internet. Oh no, I'm blocking that thing, right? Strange voice in your brain that tells you you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart, all that baloney, you tell that voice to go. It's a strange voice. It's not God's voice. Lisa, this is, I strongly recommend looking up an author and a speaker. Her name is Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Have you ever heard of her? She's a neuroscientist, probably one of the way smart, so smart that I have to like listen to her three times, and she talks really fast, so I love it because I talk fast. But she basically, she's a spirit-filled Christian of the word, and she has studied the brain and broken it down and tells you how to pray for your brain and take scripture to apply for healing in your brain. It's incredible. And she talks about toxic thoughts. And I don't have time to go there. Maybe I'll teach it in 4 months. It'll be fun. It's probably by the time I'll get there. But so listen, this demonic voice, this strange negative voice. How many people have to deal with negative thoughts all the time, right? Okay. That creates toxic thoughts. And she goes into this, and she basically says this, if these toxic thoughts go unchecked, unfiltered, if you don't kick it in the teeth and say, get out in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to go down this path of hearing my father's voice from 20 years ago that says you're never going to amount to anything, you're always going to be a loser, and you're going to be an addict just like me. Where did that voice come from? The devil. Yeah, because it just influences other people. But if you are entertaining that voice and thinking about that voice, you're giving that thing place. And you know what happens to toxic thoughts? She says this. It actually creates unhealthy neural pathways in your brain. So, you know, ruts, Brad and I were exploring the back roads of Carlisle, coming back from a wedding late last night. And you ever go down on a path that's kind of like the dirt path, the gravel path? How did it start? It started with someone driving through it, right? And the more you drive through it, the more you drive through it, becomes a rut, starts becoming a familiar, off-the-road, dangerous place to drive. Those are unhealthy, toxic thoughts that you entertain and think about all the time. It creates brain damage. Unhealthy neural pathways in your brain, and you start going down that bad path. How many ever caught yourself going down bad paths of unforgiveness? So every time you hear their name, you're like, I filtered a lot. So you gotta go, in the name of Lord, I forgive them by faith, not because they deserve it. Doesn't make what they did to you okay. But I choose to forgive them. I choose to start the forgiveness process for my sake because I want to walk in freedom. And I don't want bitterness to change me into someone that my spouse can't handle being in the same room of. Okay? Unforgiveness, bitterness. All right. All right. So replacing negative thoughts, toxic thoughts, with God thoughts. God thoughts come from where? The Word of God, the Bible, spoken over your life in faith. And I'll tell you, you got to say it out loud. Listen, if anybody's ever done something really nasty to you, Satan will give you 1,000 reasons to get bitter and angry and fight back at them. But it's the spirit behind them, right? So you better start speaking scriptures of Lord. Just find just scriptures on forgiveness, right? Walking in peace, walking forward. All right. I had to lay this foundation because I'm going to get to some heavy stuff, especially next week. But we're going there today. Cognitive therapy. Anybody heard of it? I got to go there because then people are like, you're always talking about demons. You don't talk about the other stuff. Well, I'm talking about the other stuff. Cognitive therapy. Listen, they just borrowed it from scripture. It's replacing negative bad thoughts with positive ones. And you know what's so much better than a positive thought? God's thoughts about you. Faith thoughts, okay? It's powerful. This is the power of renewing your mind. And you're going to have to do it every day. Otherwise, when Satan wants you to go off-roading, okay, and damage your vehicle and damage your brain going down some unhealthy thought patterns of I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, you know, we're never going to get out of this debt, blah, 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 all those negative side things that get you off track in your calling and even in your mental health, okay, you have to speak what the Lord has called you to do. Remember, Jesus set his face like flint. Rock solid. I know exactly what I'm calling to do, and I'm moving forward, and I'm not getting to the left or the right in other people's drama. I ain't afraid of no demons, and I don't have time for drama. How many people say, I don't have time for drama? Okay, then stop entertaining it. You know, just be quick to forgive. It happens. People stink. I'm allowed to say that, right? People stink. We're people-y. Okay, they're going to hurt you. Welcome. Move forward. Stop licking your wounds, okay? And set your face like flint to do what God has called you to do. And suddenly, you have way more time on your hands because you're not trying to fix and control all the drama that's just coming at you. It's part of living life as a human being and doing it in community and not, you know, hold up in your basement like the Unabomber, okay? Unabomber's like 40 years ago. I don't know if you get that analogy, but whatever. Sorry. Working on it. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. says, for though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish, to destroy, to tear down strongholds. And it says, we tear down these arguments, these other strange voices. How many people besides myself are really good at having arguments in your head? Like at 2 a.m. Yes, right? 2 a.m. I'm solving all the world's problems when I've had a cup of coffee after 3 p.m. And I am just like, when they say this, and I'm going to say this, and then they're going to come at me, and then I'm going to say this. That is another voice. They are not having that argument with you, right? We're allowing another voice to steal our peace. How many know this? When you don't have sleep, that steals your peace. So I've had this, and listen, even justified, where someone did me dirty. I've had people slander my name, like go out of their way. Go to other churches. I was like, really? You got that much time on your hands? I don't have that much time on my hands to destroy someone else's reputation. So I'm not, just, you know what? In the name of Jesus, go. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He is my justice. I'm just going to do what I'm called to do. You know the best way to kick Satan out of your life? Just do what you're called to do. It'll take people about 2 years to catch up and figure it out that it was just a lie, just gossip, just slander. And you know a tree by its fruit. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay. Rolling. Okay, where do we stop here? Okay, tear down every argument and every presumption. Oh, do you know we just assume everybody's talking about us? Oh my gosh, we walk in the room and someone just looks at you funny because they smelled something funny. Okay. They gave me the stink eye. No, it just smelled. I'm a youth pastor. Ha ha, you know, there's smell. What's that fun? No, you know what? Someone ate beans the night before. They are not giving you the stink eye. You know, come on. You're listening to a strange voice saying that person doesn't like me. Do you guys remember that in school? Well, it's because we're insecure. When you're insecure, you walk into like a party and you're like, oh, someone gave me the stink eye and they didn't like my outfit. I'm like, no, they're just like thinking, oh crap, I forgot to do my homework. Sorry, I shouldn't say the word. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, it's a presumption. We presume. It's another voice. Tell the voice to go. We got better things to do than worry about what everybody else is thinking about us, right, Rachel? We have no time for this, right? I don't have time to think about what are they thinking about? What do they think about me? The only person that really needs to, and we wrestle with this. I wrestle with this. I would be lying if I didn't. Pastor Sherry still has insecurities in her life. But when that other voice is telling me someone doesn't like me and da-da-da-da, you know, I'll normally call them, like, hey, how you doing? How can I pray for you? And then I'll be like, do I need to apologize for anything, Lord? Okay, you know, it's okay, you know. Might be that, but I'm not going to obsess about it because it's just going to steal my time, get me all focused on me, 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 and not what God wants to do. Okay. I know I'm going fast, but I got some things to get to. My friends are like, come on, when are you going to get to the stuff? I was like, I'm getting there. But if I don't acknowledge this, everybody's going to be like, everybody has a demon. I'm like, no, listen, sometimes we're just jerks. Sometimes we're just hangry. How many people, listen, I have to eat like just every couple hours. Road trip, I ask my husband, I'm eating food the entire time on a road trip. Like it's just, I just need to eat. Sometimes we're just hangry and we're just jerks, you know, and had a bad hair day and we don't have a demon. We're just being a jerk. How many people, is it okay to say you were just being a jerk? Come on, guys. Come on. Just own it. Just be like, no, I do not have a spirit of, you know, nastiness. I'm just being a jerk and I'm sorry. I'm sorry and just repent and get in the word. Just repentance, really? Just, come on, right? Come on, my friend Pat's like, come on, right? You know, sometimes we're just, you know, it's fine. We don't have time for drama. Just apologize. Change your ways. Repentance means change your ways. So you can't just apologize for being a jerk all the time. We know you're a jerk. It's okay. We get it. We love you. We forgive you. But you're going to have to change your ways. Okay. Moving on. Oh, people are like, is she talking about me? I'm talking about me sometimes. Okay. All right. So what this is saying is this. Okay. We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So we break home. I want you to think of a stronghold as a prison of lies in your brain. And Satan is so happy to hand you one brick at a time to make you imprisoned in your brain. Lie after lie, stink thought after stink thought. He's like, here's a nasty thing that someone had said about you 20 years ago. And here's someone that repeated the same thing yesterday. And they just want you to dwell on all these negative things. So you become an imprisoned, walled in your brain. You ever talk to someone and they're so resistant to what Lord's doing in worship, so resistant to the message, so resistant to your love, they won't even let you hug them? You know, why? Because Satan has handed them bricks for 20 years to put a wall up. Man. We become a prison in our brain. So how do you do it? The Lord says, take every argument that you're having in your brain at 2 in the morning and every presumption of what you think people are thinking about you. One thing I learned in counseling, yes, I did counseling. I went through some really hard times, and I just needed a spirit-filled Christian with some degrees on their wall to help me take those bricks down and get rid of them. And they said this. They said, the number one thing they said this, it says, stay out of people's heads. Oh, let me save you so many fights in your marriage. Stay out of their head. Don't say, this. I know this is what you're thinking. You don't know what they're thinking. You're listening to another voice, and it's just causing you drama. Well, I know this is what you think about me. No, you don't, because you're not in their head. Stay out of their head. It saved you like $200 of marriage counseling on that one. Okay. All right. Where are we at? Okay, so listen. You got to take brick by brick, lie by lie, negative thought, toxic thought by toxic thought out and renew it in the Word of God. So for every lie that Satan feeds you, every negative thought, you better search Scripture and find the truth and declare it over your life. And that's how you step out of a prison. And you think, oh, I'm just going to take a vacation from the Word of God. Do you know people go on vacations and they stop reading their Bible? We go on vacations with Him. To Him. Not away from Him. Do you know why everybody has like fights and arguments and hates their family vacation? Because they took a vacation away from the Lord and stopped reading their Bible. Please, for the sake of your family, people want to go on vacation with you if you just start acting like Jesus on your vacation. Read your Bible. Okay. Side note. Okay, we're going higher. I know I'm going fast, but I got places to go. People will just turn off what I'm about to say at the end unless I address these things. We're going to go higher, and remember, we're going to get a revelation of the kingdom of God and where we are seated. Chair number one. Joint seated with Him in heavenly places. And we are going to have to kick out, cast out every lying, vain imagination and all of Satan's intimidation tactics. All that insecurity, right? And I'll tell you this, we talked about it, but it's time to press in and storm the gates of hell. That's what it says we're supposed to do. And I will demand that Satan replays double for everything he stole from my life, and I'll steal back 1,000 times, which is why I preach. You mess with me, I'll serve Jesus all my days. You mess with me, you steal my time. I'm just going to tell everybody about Jesus. Why? Because I'm going to make you pay. Because the next time you come after me, you know it's going to cost you too much. You want to get Satan out of your head? Start ministering to people. Because what we do, we isolate. Oh, I'm so sad. And say, oh, I'll just keep coming after him because I'll just bench him. Go out and minister to people. Go out and pray for people. He's like, oh, man, the next time I mess with them, I'm going to lose 10 more people. All right, I guess I should find someone else that just wants to sit in the corner and lick their wounds. Okay. All right. Let's get back to my title. I ain't afraid of no demons, and neither should you be. Truth. Because Jesus gave us the power of his name, and we need to be quick to use it. Amen? Because he has given us authority greater than any other. So 1 John 4:4 says, "You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over them because he, Jesus, who lives in you, is greater than the spirit in the world." We already won. All you have to do is call on his name. Okay, I don't have a lot of time. How many people were here last week? Tag team, back again. Okay. WWF wrestling. I don't have time to go into it, but come on. We had some fun last week. Go listen to the sermon. But okay, if you are in the ring and two of the nastiest, most vicious, evil wrestlers of all time, where we use the analogy of The Undertaker and Kane, come after you and they're about to wipe the floor with you, what do you do? I'm going to tag out to my tag team partner, which is The Rock, Jesus Christ, my big brother, right? And I'm going to tag out and say, in the name of Jesus, I just command this assault against me to go. In Jesus' name, what do you do? As soon as, what they do? They tag team, back again. And you roll out of that ring with dignity and courage, knowing Jesus is going in the ring to fight your battle. And he already won it 2,000 years ago. This is the power and the authority we've been given. I'm not fighting any battle. Tag team, back again. Okay, thank you, Jesus. You got this. I'm just going to go up front and I'm just going to praise you and worship you, knowing that when I'm thanking you in faith for you moving in that situation, even though I haven't seen it, even though I don't feel it, he's the way maker, God of the impossible. Watch him. Watch him. He's doing it. You got to watch him in faith in your heart, right? Before you see it actually manifest. All right. Remember, Jesus gave us the great commission, not the great suggestion, because you feel good enough and you feel holy enough and righteous enough, right? No, he gave everyone the great commission to go into all the world, tell people about Jesus. Just share your story. They can't call you a liar. They may not want to listen to you preach. They may turn me off, right? That weird blonde girl with the high heels. I don't believe in women ministers. Turn it off. Okay, that's fine. But guess what? You can go to the grocery store and share your story with them, and they're not going to call you a liar. Just weave Jesus into it. All right, and then he also said, go do the stuff that I did. What did Jesus do? So in Mark 16, 17 through 20, Jesus said, hey, when you go out into all the world, to every career path in my name, he said this, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Everybody say this, in my name, in the name of Jesus. Don't skip the, that's the heavy hitter. That's the power. In the name of Jesus, his power, right? We bring him into the situation. Tag team, back again. Okay. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink any poisonous thing, it won't hurt them. This is not weird. People in like certain states have taken this out of context and do like dumb snake dancing stuff. Okay, that's baloney. It's cultish behavior. It is taking a scripture out of context because they're bored in church and just do weird things. That is not what they're telling you to do. Clear? It's just saying you don't have to worry about the hazards of the job. Wherever they went, they're sleeping on the ground, and snakes and scorpions could just kill you, right? So wherever you go, if God has called you to be an electrician, you don't have to fear getting electrocuted. Now, use wisdom, and don't override natural laws, right? Wisdom, wisdom. But wherever you go, listen, if you work in the medical field, you don't have to fear, you know, someone else getting, you know, blood transfusion. You hear me, right? That means wherever you go, don't fear the hazards of the job. He's got you. Stay close to Jesus, build up in his word, because when you walk closely with him, I hear his voice. I hear his whisper really well. And I stay under that protective umbrella where he's like, listen, you know what? I know that road says detour this way. Detour the other way, because he's going to save you from something. Just stay close and listen. Okay, Mark 16, 18 through 20, and it says, then they will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. When the Lord Jesus has finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Do you know what the right hand of the Father represents in ancient culture? The place of authority. And where were we seated? With him in a place of authority. Verse 20, the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, conduits of his power, right? They were vessels, confirming what they had said by miraculous signs. So I'm preaching it, and we're declaring it, And God does his part. I'm just bringing him in the situation, right? Tag team back again. Thank you, Jesus. You're the healer. We release your healing power. We command this negative sickness report to go in the name of Jesus. Tag team. He does the work. I'm just the vessel. Amen? All right. How many people wrestle with intimidation and insecurity besides myself? You know what had me get over it real quick? Not quick, but kind of. Satan got my dad sick. And I don't have time to be insecure. Satan then took my father in sickness and disease. And you know what? I started fighting real hard. I got over that spirit of fear and intimidation. And I started saturating myself in the love of God and his truth and his word. And suddenly, there was no room for insecurity or fear in my life. I was so full of him and his love for me and his love for others. Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. I got to tell people about him. The love of Christ compels me. I need to pray for the sick and watch them recover. The love of Christ compels me. I need to bring freedom from addiction in Jesus' name. 1 John 4:18 says this, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You're wrestling with fear and intimidation, you need to spend some more time in his word and remember how much he loves you and how much he loves the people around you. And guess what? It's actually not about you. Just let him flow through you. Doesn't matter how you look, doesn't matter your past and how many mistakes, because he actually picks imperfect vessels because he gets all the glory when we don't look like the part, right? Spend some time with him. There's no room for a spirit of insecurity and fear because I'm just so saturated in his love and his word. You just don't care anymore. All right. Philippians 2, 9 through 10. God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that in at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Lord, the Father. Satan and his demons, they respond and submit to the authority of the name of Jesus. Not your name. I don't do things in my name. I don't do it for my ministry. His name. And every knee will bow. Every doctor's report, every depression, anxiety, sickness, cancer bows to the name of Jesus. Everything natural, everything spiritual, what? Bows to the name of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus' name is greater? That is called faith. And you have to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And for some of you that are in a big battle, you just get it playing. I'm telling you, I love the Bible apps that just play it all day. Just play worship music. And listen, some worship music doesn't preach the gospel. It just helps you wallow in your emotions. So be very careful what kind of music you're listening to. Because if you go into that song and come out the same way you're going in, it's probably not preaching the gospel. It just feels good. Your Christian fellowship, we sing songs that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the police badge of the believer. I don't have time to preach it. But remember, authority always trumps power. The name of Jesus, he has given us authority in his name. And authority, stop in the name of the law. Stop in the name of Jesus always trumps the limited power that Satan has, right? Because we're tapped into the unlimited, powerful creator of heaven and earth. Authority. Jesus' authority. The authority we have to use his name always trumps power. And Luke 24, 49 says this, through the Holy Spirit, we have been given power from on high. He is the power, right? And here we go. Mark 16, 17 through 18. Jesus gave authority in his name to cast out demons, lay hands on the sick, and watch them recover. And why are we not doing the stuff? Because we're insecure and we make things all about us and we're too busy and exhausted and have grown callous and apathetic to do what he's commanded us to do. Oh no, I'll just call pastor. Pastor will do it. Did you know we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation? You are to pastor your family. You are to pastor and minister to your coworkers and your neighbors. There's a lot of people that are literally afraid of the devil. And afraid to say the name Satan or devil. And they, like I said, they don't even teach their kids about him. And once again, that's why they blame everything on God. God did not steal the life of your loved one. God did not cause them to get sick from cancer and pass away. That was not God. Do not say, God need another angel in heaven. That's baloney. Read your Bible. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? So please be teaching the defeated enemy so we put the blame in the right place. Because a lot of people don't come to church because they think that stuff because we're not teaching them. All right. And we're afraid oftentimes to confront a demon because we've been given some wrong theology from Hollywood and some churches. Oh, no, you can't tell that thing to go. You got to get the pastor to do it. No, you just need to have a legit relationship with Jesus, right? Seven sons of Sceva, do you hang out with him? You hang out with the word? You know he loves you? You know he's given you power in his name? You tell that voice of depression to go in the name of Jesus. They think if they confront a demonic force that something weird's going to happen, that something's going to manifest. They think that the head's going to spin around, it's going to vomit pea soup, and then it's going to jump on you. Oh, I can't tell the thing to go because then I'm going to get it. This is the theology we got from Hollywood. Turn it off, okay? Open up your Bible. All right. Jesus made it all simple. Simple. Come to him like a child. If we make it really complicated, we're not preaching the gospel. You make it really complicated, you can't teach it to kids. And God said, you want to get it right? Teach it simple, just like a child. Simple faith gets results. All right. So, Jesus gave his disciples some really simple marching orders in Luke chapter 10. And he instructed them to go out and heal the sick. And he sent them out two by two. Why? Because things are way more fun and less intimidating when you got a partner, right? Okay? Get in community. Get some partners in ministry here. Luke 10, 17 through 20. He sent 70 disciples out. He said, hey, go do the stuff that I did in my name. Don't worry about it, okay? And the 70 returned with joy. What? This is bananas. God, this is so cool. I'm not a bored Christian in church anymore because I'm actually doing the stuff you did. I have no time to judge and criticize other people because I'm having way too much fun doing the stuff that Jesus did, making disciples, having grow groups, praying for the sick, watching them recover, setting people free. Praise God. And the Lord said this, and they said this. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then Jesus said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. He is no big thing. Oh, my gosh. So defeated. And he said to them, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess. You now possess the authority of God because of your relationship, your faith in him. You are connected to the power source, joint seated in chair number one. To tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing will by any means harm you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. So I've had tons of questions about this, especially in the last year. I teach this to the teens all the time. I was like, oh, just teach it upstairs. listen, you know the phrase, keep it simple. Keep it simple or you're going to be seen foolish, okay? So just keep it simple. I want to say this. There's a lot of just goofy ministries out there, goofy websites, goofy YouTube videos that make things far more complicated than they need to be. And they get off in like power trip extremes because they've wrapped their identity in a deliverance ministry. My whole identity, my whole purpose in life is having this really complicated ministry. Okay? Now everybody's like listening, okay? Our identity is in who? Jesus Christ. And he has told every single person, not special people, that have a bunch of degrees and got can use really big long words and have flashy personalities and couldn't put on a big show. He tells every person to go do the stuff that I did. Lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, disciple people, boom. Life is really fun. Not just one person, their special ministry, because they could hire somebody to create a very cool website and do all these videos and make things really, like 35 steps to walking in freedom. Why does this happen is because what I've sensed as I've looked into some of these things, because people have asked me questions, generally speaking, when you ever get a smell about something? I'm trying to not be discernment. I normally pick up on a pride. and a little bit of an arrogance because they make it all about their ministry. And you need me to walk in this truth and freedom. And all this truth and freedom is right here. Now, it's good to educate yourself, but it's to be simple. Does that make sense? So, you know, I've done a lot of research in this. And sometimes, they go to their website and download a 5 to 10 page questionnaire. And you'll find out if you have a demon or not. And it'll ask you every question under the book. Come on. Yeah, I know. But Wanda's been around. You've been doing ministry a long time. You know this stuff, right? You know, there's nothing new under the sun. There's cycles of these trends, and we're in another wave trend right now. I've talked to some of my pastor friends that have hair of a different color, which means they have a lot more wisdom in me because they've been doing it longer. And I was like, hey, have you seen this trend? They're like, oh, yeah, it just comes around every 10 years. It just hits a trend. So anyway, you answer these really long questionnaires, and it'll come down to even trauma in the womb. There was a trauma in the womb because your mom was having a really hard time birthing you, and maybe she didn't want you, and you have a spirit of rejection, and really complicated. By the time you get done this, I looked at a questionnaire. By the time I got done, I probably had 5 demons. I was like, okay, because it asked so many questions. Everybody had one. Do you know what it takes out? The Holy Spirit, who is going to tell you what's up, okay? All right, so you follow me. All right. They often get caught up in a circus show because, honestly, they're bored in church and they just want manifestations because it makes them feel powerful. So listen, if I am, how do I say this carefully? If I want manifestations of demonic activity, what are you going to get? You're going to get it. If you're looking for voices, you're going to get it, right? If you're looking for I'm telling you, there are people you go to conferences to, like a week-long deliverance conference to learn how to just tell Satan to go in the name of Jesus. And they're like, you need a bucket because it needs to throw up and you need to get him to cough. I was at one with mom. We were at a service. Bless their heart. Bless their heart. Listen, they love Jesus and I respect it. But he's like, hey, right, just cough it out. Cough it out. And he's getting the whole, like 200 people to start coughing. Like, ooh, loogie. Oh man, what do I do with this now? I don't know. Just spit it out. I was like, no, just tell the thing to go in Jesus' name. Like, save the carpet. Right, mom? Save the carpet. Mom doesn't even let me pour water on the carpet. Okay. We in our culture train people to respond a certain way. Welcome to charismania. Right? So when the Holy Spirit's moving, everybody got to fall on the floor. Oh, Holy Spirit's moving. Okay, I'm just going to lay down on the floor because then they're going to think something's wrong with me if I didn't fall on the floor. No, listen, sometimes it happens, right? Holy Spirit moves in different ways. You follow me? But you can train a culture to only do things a certain way. There is a culture move, and I'm talking about it, but they think to get someone filled with the Holy Spirit, Angie is okay. We've been friends a really long time. And she's my family forever. But come on, Angie, you know, she taught me how to do ministry. But they think they got to, like, put their hand on their head, shove them back at a 45-degree, shake it, and yell in your face, push on your stomach. Okay, sorry. Okay, all right. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit that way if you want. I just don't have time for all the drama, and I messed up your hair. Somebody once, like, literally poured, Stacy Clark was with me. We had a guest speaker, and they poured a giant bottle of olive oil. We're teenagers. We're like 17 years old. Glung, 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 and then slapped it on our faces and just rubbed it. Oh, Lord, we thank you for fresh anointing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, all the zits are, there's zits on my face. What are you doing? You know, it just made it weird. You didn't need to do that. You know, you can just put a little anointing oil. Come on, how many people seen you train a culture? And there's a deliverance ministry culture that's training that you have to get demons to manifest before you tell them to go. I don't have time for their show. Bunch of liars. I got better things to do. Just tell it to go. Okay. All right. This is fun. Why? I want to say this. Why demons like to manifest and make it all weird and creepy voices. And, you know, it happens. I know that. I've seen it. Okay. Why do they do that? because they want to shame and embarrass the person to cause isolation. Because I've seen this before when something kind of manifests on someone and something weird happens, and then they finally get the thing to go in Jesus' name because they're having too much fun watching it. Not the time. We'll talk about it next week. But it happens. And I remember talking things with my dad. I've seen creepy things, weird things. But they get, oh, wow, that's happening. That's kind of cool. Hey, look what this demon's saying. Okay? And then afterwards, they cast the thing out, and the person is so embarrassed that they were slithering on the ground and shaking and talking 20 voices. And, you know, they get embarrassed over it, so they isolate. They don't come back to church because they're embarrassed. I would like to save that person. They have nothing to be embarrassed about or shamed about, but it's the truth. I've been doing ministry a long time. You know, when someone acts a fool, maybe not demonic, they're people just being a jerk. Someone's out in my parking lot yelling and screaming and cussing. They're being a jerk, okay? And you know what? And they don't come back to church for 2 months because they're ashamed they were being a jerk, okay? Do you follow why demons kind of do all this baloney stuff? All right. So, I had a minister. You know, I go to ministers. Sorry, Lord, thank you. Reeling it in. Anyway, I had a friend in the ministry, does not go to our church. They're like, I saw this video. They get educated by videos on YouTube of demons. Really? Okay. Well, I watched this video on YouTube, and they're interviewing this guy that had a demon talking out of him. And they asked him where the coronavirus came from and why it came. And you know what it says? I said, honestly, I'm so sorry, Mr. So-and-so. I don't care, because demons are liars. I'm not going to go ask a demon to get my information. I am, number one, going to go to the Word of God, and number two, I'm going to just ask Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's a bored Christian. And it's entertaining to them, and then they forward me their videos. I'm like, nah, I'm good, thank you. I'll just ask Holy Spirit. You know, we're good. But you follow me. This is the trend that's rolling. It's okay. We're laughing. It's our family. We're in the same family. We're in the same team. I just keep it simple because I'm a youth pastor, and it gets better results. Keep it simple. Amen?
Amen.
All right. All right, let's see here. Don't drag things out unnecessarily. Let's go into the model of Jesus, right? So at the end of that I just read, it said, hey, it's not about, you know, I saw Satan fall like lightning. But what did Jesus say? He said this. He said, let me go back to my scripture. It says, you know, don't rejoice because the demons obey you. Rejoice because their name is written in heaven. Let's not celebrate the kingdom of darkness. Let's celebrate getting them into the kingdom of light. Let's get them discipled. Let's get them accountable. Let's get them in the word and watch their life transform. Let's celebrate not what Satan's doing, but what God's doing. So he's like, hey, it's okay. You're my people. Let's just chiropractically adjust what it's all about. All right. Jesus, he is the standard. He is the model. And how did Jesus do things? And by the way, next week I'm going to talk about the madman of Gadara. We'll break it all down. There's this one way it happened different. I'll explain it. So come back next week. But this is like the 99.9% of all throughout the Bible. All right. Jesus tells the demon to be quiet and go. Real simple. Everybody say real simple. All right. I have 10 minutes. Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. I'll come back to it next week. Thanks, Lord. Mark 1, 22 through 27. I want to talk about next week suicidal thoughts. Does that make sense? I'm going to talk about next week. So if you have someone that's ever struggling with it, I want to, you tell that spirit of death and suicide, those lies, to go. We'll talk about it next week. But we are to be praying for them. And I want to say this, come along their side with the answer, with who they are in Christ Jesus. Get them discipled. And listen, if they don't want to be discipled and they don't want to get in the word, you can't make them, okay? But I'll tell you, you go fight for them by praying against spirit of death and suicide. It is unnatural to hurt yourself. You know what I mean? We do crazy banana things to survive. It's a spirit that lies to them and torments them and pummels them, gets them to isolate, to pull away, right? So, you know, you go pray. And you go be right by their side through it, right? But you tell that voice to go in Jesus' name. I'll talk about it next week in depth. Mark 1, 22 through 27. Jesus was in the synagogue. He was in church, essentially. And he was teaching. And they were completely amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them as one having God-given authority. This is not an intellectualized gospel. Jesus' gospel, there was authority to it. Not as the religious scholars. Okay, this is different. And Jesus was doing what he was called to do. You know what you're called to do? Miss Gerald is called to go feed people and tell them about Jesus and pray for them. Right? Simple. I love the vision. Gerald's doing what she's called to do. If you don't know what you're called to do, just come by her side and serve someone else. And I'll tell you, you'll learn. You'll get like anointing overflow. All right? Please. But Satan does not like you doing what you're called to do. He does not want you moving in purpose. He doesn't want you moving in any capacity, bringing freedom and healing to people around you. So what's he want to do? He wants to distract you, right? He wants to pull you into some drama, steal your time. If Satan can't steal your life, he'll steal your time. If he can't get you to sin, he'll just put a bunch of drama people in your life to just get you all pulled, right? Gerald's laughing. You know, you've been doing ministry a long time, right? Okay. Satan will do anything to distract you and the people around you that you're called to minister to. from hearing the gospel, the almost too good to be true news. What? Okay. So he's in church and something starts manifesting. Manifest is kind of a weird word, but it's okay. Something starts happening that's not of God, right? Okay. So it says, just then, as he's preaching the gospel, a man in their synagogue, in church, all right, with an unclean spirit, Message Bible says this, who was deeply disturbed and yelling out. He cried out terribly from the depths of his throat. I would normally get really dramatic in this moment, but like, I'm not trying to creep you out, but like, let's do it. It's drama, okay? So what business do you have with us? Us, that's plural. That's creepy. Okay. Okay. This happened to me. I was talking to someone and they're like, maybe I'll share it next week. I was ministering to someone and their response was, why don't you people just leave us alone? And their eyes went black. I'm like, oh, okay, I know what that is. All right, that's okay. We'll talk about it some other time. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Okay. Demons manifest to distract, harass, and put drama and put on a big show. Why? Because it wants you to stop doing what you're called to do. This is why you got to keep it simple. Because if you're trying to minister to someone and someone starts acting bananas and crazy and blah, 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 okay, it's going to stop you from ministering to the person, right? But Jesus loves that person that spirit's talking through. So just minister to them both real quick and keep doing what you're called to do. All right. Demons influence. They operate through people in church. Sometimes just another voice. You don't have to be possessed or oppressed to align up your voice with the accuser of the brethren. Satan's the accuser of the brethren. You know, you can just get into judgment and criticism. And some little spirit's like, mah, 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 they're not good enough. Do you remember what they did last week? Do you know what they posted on Facebook? Do you remember who they used to party with in high school? Meh, 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 meh. Okay? Doesn't mean they're possessed. They're just repeating the lie of the enemy. All right? Why? Because it wants to distract you, cause drama, harass you. Someone's always talking about your past. You know what voice they're repeating? Jesus doesn't talk about people's past. Who are you in Christ Jesus? Old things are passed away. All things become new. Let's move forward. You got someone always talking about your past? Don't go, you have a demon. Just go, hey, you know what? I love you, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And I'm just going to ask you right now, please bring it up my past at Thanksgiving table. Boom. Okay. You know, it's fine. All right. All right. I've seen this happen in church. I'm going to try to be vague. The Lord is doing great things, right? He's doing great things in worship when we're preaching the gospel through song. He's doing great things when we're preaching the word of God. And what does Satan want to do? He wants to distract. He wants to divide. I have seen funky little spirits start talking through people. I'm not saying they're possessed. I'm just saying they're listening to another voice. Now, they might be. I don't know. But I've seen people sit there muttering. Mom's laughing because we know. Muttering through the whole message. Ah, don't listen to them. That's stupid. That's not true. Literally talking bad about the pastor and saying that the sermon's wrong and blah, blah, blah. I have seen people curse. We're being recorded. Come on, people know this. What? Oh, that's a spirit. Do you know why? Because that little parasite thing, you ever pour salt on the snail? Ah, don't do that for entertainment. That's gross. Okay. But you know what? They're parasites. You put a little salt on a parasite. Ah! We are salt and light, right? Creepy, crawly things don't like the light. They crawl back to dark places. Right? They don't like salt. Woo! So that little parasite thing that's sitting on their shoulder, it's causing a ruckus. Why? Because it wants them to stop listening, and it wants all the people around them to stop listening and tune in with a lie of judgment and criticism and nastiness. Have you ever seen this happen? Yep. You know, as I see, they get real fidgety and weirdly, what word did I use? Restless during service. Demons hate worship. Oh, they hate it. Why? Remember Saul? The only time Saul ever had peace was in the presence of worship. So that little thing's getting in the salt and light, and I'm uncomfortable. I need to go to the bathroom and sit there for 2 hours. They'll go out in the lobby. They'll go out in the parking lot. My youth leaders have been trained. Oh, no. I mean, we put timers on when they go to the bathroom. It's like, two minutes, or we go in search and rescue. Because that depression, that anxiety, that anger, that rage, that unforgiveness, that doesn't like the presence of God. Why? Because healing and freedom will happen in worship when you preach the gospel through song. What? That little creepy parasite? Oh, I don't. It'll lie to them. Oh, I've had students and young adults tell me this. I've had people come to church late. I'm just not into this kind of music. Oh, You got one of those little creepy things talking to you. That's why you're all depressed all the time and angry all the time, and all you do is talk bad about everybody and every other church you've ever been to. Oh, you got one of them things. Oh, no, you don't. It's not that you don't like worship or worship music. You have another voice you're entertaining. Right. Oh, okay, get quiet. Get quiet, okay, all right. So that little spirit will lie to them and say, oh, you're just not comfortable at church. It's just not your vibe. You know, we don't like the black stage and the lighting's not it. Okay. Church is a body of people. It's not a building. Oh, this is, you know, there's just too many people, too many young people, too many old people. There's, you know, not enough people of this ethnicity. Blah, blah. No, it's just a lie. You know, if the presence of God is here, they'll come up with any reason to tell you you don't belong in the presence of God. Oh, you just did what? You snorted what last night? No, you can't be in church. You need to stand out in the lobby, sit in the parking lot, in your car. This happens all the time. Why? Because that little creepy thing that's been harassing them doesn't feel comfortable, and they want them out of the presence because you'll get healing and freedom there. I know I'm calling it out. This is the stuff I was trying to get to. Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm going to take 7 minutes. It's the Lord's number. At 12:07, I'm going to stop talking. Okay? All right, my mom's going to wave at me because I'm going to give me more time. No, I'm going to say 12:07. By then, I will stop talking because I'll get this is the good stuff, right? All right. What did Jesus do? Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Amplified Bible says, muzzled, silenced, come out of him. Did it say Jesus screamed? Did it say he shouted? Did he get a bucket of holy water? Did he get an entire thing of canola oil? No, you can use canola oil. It's okay. All right? You can use Crisco. I like coconut oil. It tastes good. You can, whatever. It's a symbol, right? But I don't have to, like, go bananas on him. Jesus, with firm authority, right? An apparent with authority. Listen, my mom, and my dad were awesome. They had a look. And if we were misbehaving, all it took was one look. Stop it. Come on, right? He didn't need to scream and shout and, you know, yeah, oh, sorry, Lord. All right, I won't get dramatic for the sake of time because I now have 6 minutes. All right, thank you, Lord. All right, and then it says this. Let me think here. The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and screeching with a loud voice, it came out of him. And all were so amazed that they debated and questioned each other, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, demons, and they obey him. Message Bible says this. He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and tells them to get lost. And the news of this traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. This is the gospel. These are our gospel rights and privileges. All right, I'm blowing through some notes on this one. Paul did the stuff that Jesus did, right? Jesus did it, Paul did it. So great. He modeled Jesus. This is a really good example of what we can do as well. Paul ran into a very similar situation, and I have enough time to do it because this is fun. This is a fun story. Acts 16:16-24. I like the Amplified Bible. It says, Paul reported this. He said, it happened that as we were on our way to the place of prayer. Oh, man. Satan does not want you in you praying. Doesn't want you hanging out with the word. You put some time to get in the word and get in prayer. Oh, he'll do anything to distract you with drama and confusion. Next thing you know, your phone. How many people know you go spend some time with the Lord and all of a sudden your phone's blowing up and all your notifications because someone trolled you on Facebook and said all kinds of crazy stuff? All right. Just do what you're called to do. Paul reported, it happened as they were on their way to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. A demonic spirit claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge. She was a psychic. Make sense? Okay, modern terms. All right, the Message Bible said this. She was a psychic with her fortune-telling, made a lot of money for the people who owned her. All right, really fast. Psychics do not talk to deceased people. We clear? Okay, after you die, there's two directions you can go. Up or down, heaven or hell. There's no place in between. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. Okay, the concept of Abraham's bosom, I'll go into it later. You know, the holding tank for all the people that followed the one true God. Once Jesus came and died and rose again, guess what? They now had access and they all went to heaven. There is no in between. So psychics are not talking to the spirit of your grandmother that's, you know, haunting your room or anything like that, okay? They are talking to familiar spirits that have followed your family and your loved ones. Truth. How do they know so much about you? Why? Because, you know, those little creepy things looking for access to try to pull you into the same path that your family members fell into. Thank God that curse was broken at the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen. Doesn't mean those stinky things aren't looking for access point, but they got no right. I have addiction on both sides of my family. Died in it horrifically. Brad and I have been set free from that. Haunted both sides of our family. Guess what? We don't fear that because we've declared that the curse of that was broken at the cross 2,000 years ago. But if I go to a psychic, I'm going to talk to someone that's talking to them other voices on the wrong team. Why? Because I need them to tell me something about my life. I'm going to go straight to Holy Spirit to tell me something about my life. But you start opening up that door. I talked about this a lot in week 3. Open up that door. I want to play. Open up doors to psychics, Ouija boards, tarot cards. Oh, Satan's like, oh, I've been waiting for this. You're going to invite access. And let me tell you, you start doing it long enough, a lot of mental illness, mental instability starts coming in there too. Maybe we'll talk about it more in the future. All right, so verse 17, she started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out, distractions, started to call distractions. These men are working for the Most High God. They're laying out the road of salvation for you. Now, this is confusing. John 8:44 says, God is not the author of confusion. If it's confusing, why? Why? This psychic, this spirit manifesting through this person wants to cause confusion and division. Wait, does this psychic follow Jesus? You know, there are people that call themselves that they follow Jesus, but they're a psychic. No, they just are open to any voice that they can get a hold of. It's like the Hindus, bless their hearts. They'll accept Jesus. Why? Because he's just one of 1,000 gods for them. Universalists. Okay, so it's confusing. So Paul's preaching the gospel and this thing's manifesting and acting weird, and the discernment in their gut feels a little sick, like a little twisted, right? Satan likes to twist words, even scripture, out of context. Satan quoted scripture to cause confusion. This will happen in Bible studies. You're preaching the gospel and all of a sudden they take one scripture out of context, twist the words, make it all about them, and just steal the show. Put on a show. Oh, what's going on? Oh, okay. There's just a spirit there that wants to derail what you're called to do. All right. So she puts on this emotional drama show. And so what does Paul do? Real simple. We keep it real simple. She said she did this for a number of days. And Paul was finally fed up with her. You ever fed up enough with Satan harassing your brain, stealing your time in ministry through drama? Okay. Paul turned around and commanded the spirit that possessed her out in the name of Jesus. Get out of her. Paul said to the demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And instantly, the spirit left her. I have so much to tell you. And I have 1 minute. If you notice something kind of acting strange, if you notice something strange, something weird in your neighborhood, okay? If you say you have a demon, it's going to insult them, and they're going to shut down. It's like yelling out, you got an STD! They're not going to come back to your church. They're not going to come back to your group. Why? Because you've publicly shamed them and embarrassed them. It's an insult to them. So here's a revelation the Lord told me this. In Old English, did you know that people were called by what they did, their job, right? Millers, what banker. I wrote a bunch down for sake of this, okay? Miller, banker, potter, cook, mason, tailor. Call the thing what it is. People are a lot more open. If you say the word demon, they shut down. They're a little more open to a spirit. You have a spirit of pride. They might be a little more open to it, but can you just say this? Pride, go in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it doesn't get them shut down. You got an STD, and we're going to get rid of it. You hang in there. They're like, wall up, fight, I'm leaving. Where's the exit sign? Okay, you're going to lose your ministry. Jesus didn't really go into complications. Hey, in the name of Jesus, stop. Listen, this judgment and criticism that's coming out of you, and you're just tearing down that minister, and you're tearing apart your family member, just stop right now. Judgment and criticism, stop. Okay, go in the name of Jesus. Real quick steps. Command the spirit to be quiet in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Don't come back in the name of Jesus. Get them to repent for any sins of especially unforgiveness. unforgiveness, judgment, criticism, just hey, is there anything, any sin, any cycles of hidden sin, our favorite pet sins of lying and gossip, that you've opened up the door to this negative influence in your life? Get them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If they already have, just rededicate their life. Ready for this? Ask to be filled or refilled, overflowing with Holy Spirit, right? The empty mind is the devil's playground. You cast something out, you better fill them right back up with Holy Spirit, okay? Get implanted in the Word, in worship, and in a discipleship group. Come back next week. I have so much more to tell you. Oh, man, I took it too much. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for the revelation of your Word. Jesus, you are our model. You are the standard in our life. We follow you. Our eyes are on you. You are our teacher. And we thank you. You're giving us a revelation how to walk in the authority of your name and do the things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Come back next week. It's going to be really fun. All right. Love you guys. You're dismissed.